rockzone.com.
Now, TalkZone presents the Cyber Advisor. This is the show that looks at the people and events that move the financial markets and shape our economy. Here's your host for the Cyber Advisor, David Revell.
Well, summer is coming to an end, and everyone's trying to get in that last-minute vacation, maybe a trip to the shore or a day of golf, or just time to reflect. And you can certainly see it in the financial markets where all the volumes are down, and it's as if everyone has left. But we all know that fall's just around the corner and real change seems in the air. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the August 21st edition of the Cyber Advisor, up-to-date news and analysis you need to survive financially. I'm Dave Revell, and if you'd like to join me on the show, our lines are open. Dial toll-free 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. 888-463-6748, or reach me anytime on my email. It's dave@thecyberadvisor.com. Well, there's a lot to do today and a lot to look at in spite of the fact that it is the end of summer. The market on Monday shaked off a very weak Monday and went on to show positive gains for the rest of the week. In our recap section coming right up, we're going to see a warning from an old experienced hand on Wall Street. His name is Art Cashin, and Art's been around for at least 40 years or so. Right now, he's head of floor operations for UBS Securities, and he gives us kind of a warning on what may lie ahead in the fall. Also will be Jerry Webman. He's the chief economist for Oppenheimer Funds, and he tells us what his biggest concern of all is in spite of a fairly optimistic outlook for the rest of the year. In the second segment, do you think that bailout is the only way to handle failed financial banks? Kelly King, the chief executive officer of BB&T Bank, explains how he took over working with the FDIC, was able to take over Colonial Bank Group. Now, Colonial, you may recall, was the big Florida bank that ran into trouble last weekend just about the time this show was going on the air. Were rumors, as we passed on to you, that Colonial may go out of business. And indeed, they were taken over that Saturday morning by the FDIC. But the interesting thing about this story, unlike what we've heard from almost all the other takeovers, is this does not involve any taxpayer subsidies. No tax dollars are involved in the FDIC, BB&T takeover of Colonial Bank share, and it is a very large takeover. It's probably the eighth or ninth largest bank takeover in history. We'll go into how exactly that came about in our second segment. Also, we'll listen to David Crow. David is the chief economist at the National Home Builders Association, the people who've probably been hardest hit in this recession. And he'll give us his up-to-the-minute outlook on what exactly he sees coming in the recovery. What's interesting about his way of looking at things is he is quick to point out to us that the home builders are not going it alone. It'll take some strength in the rest of the economy for them to get back on their feet. In the third segment, we'll have a debate, if you want to call it that, between the bulls and the bear. Kind of an in-depth look at the bulls case with David Weiss, who's chief global economist with Standard & Poor's. Generally speaking, David has a positive outlook on how the economy's going. He's asked whether he thinks our recovery will look like a V. Now, a V recovery is a very sharp, dramatic move up in such areas of looking at things as the GDP and so on, or a W would be falling back into a second or double dip recession. W recovery is not a good one. Or what looks more likely right now is a U recovery. A U recovery is a recovery where we kind of languish slightly off the bottom, but we can't get very much momentum. We'll see what David Weiss sees ahead for us. And then from Hong Kong, Kirby Daly, who's the senior market strategist for the New Edge Group, he'll present the case for the bears. Kirby, obviously not as positive as David Weiss, but interestingly, not that more negative. It's very interesting when you listen to these two gentlemen side by side, the bull and the bear, that their outlook for the future is remarkably similar. It's very difficult to listen and hear exactly what the differences are. Then we'll take a more in-depth look at in section three at the next week's economic calendar. It's pretty light coming up next week, but there will be the Case-Shiller Index, which will give us a flavor for how housing looks in the time ahead, and also the Consumer Confidence Index, something that we've talked a lot about on this show, something that we want everyone to kind of be tuned into. After all, the consumer is driving this economy, and most of the stimulus dollars, most of the things that the politicians in Washington have aimed at has been aimed directly at helping the consumer. Is it working? That's a good question. Finally, durable goods orders and new home sales will be announced on Wednesday of next week. Well, that's a brief look at what's ahead in the show. Let's go down to the exchange and see how we did this week. Markets started out pretty weak on Monday with the Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 2%, down 186 points at 91.35. The NASDAQ composite was down 2.75%. That's a fairly major drop, 54.68 points on the downside, leaving it at 19.30. And the Standard & Poor's was also down 2.43%, 24 points at 979, so back down below the 1,000 level on Monday. However, we looked for a better market on Tuesday. We had turnaround Tuesday with the Dow Industrial Averages up 82 points on Tuesday to bring the rebound back. NASDAQ Composite was up 25 points, and the Standard & Poor's was up almost 10 points. But in the middle of all the activity on Tuesday in the markets, Art Cashin stepped up to the microphone at CNBC to give kind of his analysis of where he thought the market was today and what we have to look forward to. Now, Art's been around for about 40 years. You've probably seen him on television for a very long time. Some of us remember Art back in the 70s as one of the chief strategists for several New York Stock Exchange, major New York Stock Exchange firms. And one of the interesting thing about Art is Art is not a person to be easily swayed to the bear side. Art is generally a fairly positive, fairly even-handed person. But I wanted to listen especially to these comments by Art Cashin on just what he sees ahead this fall for the markets. And here he is.
Well, it may well be. It was a 90% down day, meaning that 90% of the stocks were down. The advanced declines were very negative. The VIX exploded to the upside. You might be entitled to a little bit of a bounce today. I had said to you last week that I thought the market was ahead of reality and that that I would worry about things, particularly going into Ramadan on the 22nd. I still have my warning signals up, and I think there are things gathering around here that that are kind of esoteric, but
clouds.
Yeah, we could see
storm clouds.
Perhaps historic trading over the next 8 weeks or so.
Really interesting. He feels, Art feels like many of us do, that the markets at this point in this rally are ahead of reality. That is to say that they've gone beyond what the economic numbers seem to indicate are justified at the at this time. One of the most interesting comments, and he says it very briefly in there, is that he's concerned about the fall because of Ramadan. Ramadan, I believe, starts tomorrow. And a lot of times traders, as you might suspect, on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange are going to be very sensitive to some of these holidays coming forward. He was asked whether he thought that he saw clouds on the horizon, and he says essentially he sees some historic possibilities in the immediate months ahead. Historic is not a term that is used lightly by someone like Art Cashin. So Art is calling for some significant change, I think, in the fall as we come forward in the markets, and something to really watch carefully. Well, the markets continued their rise. In fact, for the rest of the week, we saw plus days. On Wednesday, the Dow was up 61 points, pushed us back up to 92.79. The NASDAQ was up 13 points, up to 19.69. And the Standard & Poor's up 6.79 at 9.96, just below 1,000 on Wednesday. At that time, Jerry Webman stepped up at the Bloomberg mics to give his analysis of what he thought was ahead. Jerry Webman is the chief economist of Oppenheimer Funds, and in a wide-ranging and rather long interview, Jerry was generally positive on the outlook for the economy, saying that he saw GDP as being positive for the next part of the year and not falling into the double dip recession, remaining positive for the foreseeable future. He sees the consumer getting his legs and being able to contribute some more to the economy. But when asked what was his major big concern, Jerry Webman had this to say.
Well, notice where the retail earnings came. The good numbers came from the discounters. One of your producers was telling me about more discounts in the consumer gaming, computer gaming area. So you're going to have to cut prices. So top line growth remains a problem. We know companies can earn money at the bottom line by cutting costs, but don't expect the consumer to be back where you and I were spending money 3, 4, 5 years ago. We just can't put that in the numbers. So it's a caution rather than a fear for the markets.
Is that your biggest concern right now, the consumer?
Actually, my biggest concern right now is in general that the credit system is still very locked up. We're seeing a lot of money being created by the Fed that's not getting into general use throughout the financial system. It's not being invested. It's not being lent. The M's that we used to look at are very flat. So I'm still concerned that money is not getting invested. And investment is what I think has to drive this next cycle, at least in the United States.
So generally, David Webman's position, or Jerry Webman's position, is that top line growth is not occurring in this economy at the moment. Even the retail sector is not seeing top line growth. What they're doing is they're cutting expenses so that they can get earnings to the bottom line, but there's no expansion by the consumer, even though the consumer is a little bit healthier than he was before. But the main point of all of this, which is fascinating, is this market is acting as in a manner of a classic credit crunch. And in a credit crunch, people are unable to come up with additional credit. And even though the Federal Reserve has had all of the programs, TARP, TALP, and all of the programs that you've heard of, it is not translating into increased credit production, which is what we need to have the economy come back on steam. So his biggest concern is credit is not expanding, it is contracting. When he talks about the M's, he's talking about the money supply. Later on in the show, we'll talk briefly about what's happening on the money supply, but we are not seeing a dramatic increase in the money supply. There are some technical reasons for that, including a thing called velocity that we'll talk about later. But the bottom line, most important thing to understand here is credit is not responding to the push by the Federal Reserve, and we're not seeing credit expanding into the markets. So very interesting. On Thursday, markets continued on the upside. The Dow Industrials were up a little more than 70 points to 93.50. NASDAQ continued up almost 20 points or 1% to 1989, and the Standard & Poor's 500 broke once again above 1,000. It was up almost 11 points to 1,007 points. Now, one of the most interesting things that we've seen here was Warren Buffett coming out once again and making a major editorial in the New York Times. Warren Buffett is probably the most followed investor in the world right now, and people hang on his every word. What's interesting is that when last we heard from Warren Buffett, it was back on October 17th of last year, and at that time, Warren announced in also an editorial in the New York Times that he was buying stock. He said, quote, "I've been buying American stocks. A simple rule dictates why I'm buying now, and that is You should be fearful when others are greedy and be greedy when others are fearful. And most certainly fear is now widespread, gripping even seasoned investors. To be sure, investors are right to be wary of highly leveraged entities or businesses in weak competitive positions. Let me emphasize that. Investors are right to be wary of highly leveraged entities or businesses in weak competitive positions. He goes on to say, let me be clear on one point. I cannot predict the short-term movements of the stock market. I have not the faintest idea as to whether stocks will be higher or lower a month or a year from now. What is likely, however, is that the markets will move higher, perhaps substantially so, well before either sentiment or the economy turns up. Over the long term, the stock market news will be good. Warren Buffett back on October 17th, please note the warning about leverage, but clearly a very positive statement on the outlook for the stock market. Now, just the day before yesterday, on Wednesday, Warren Buffett decided to pen his second op-ed, also in the New York Times, called The Greenback Effect. And he said briefly, the United States is spewing a potentially damaging substance into our economy, greenback emissions, a cute way of saying we're creating too many dollars at the moment. The United States economy, Buffett goes on to say, is now out of the emergency room and appears to be on a slow path to recovery. But enormous dosages of monetary medicine continue to be administered, and before long we will need to deal with their side effects. The largest annual deficit the United States has incurred since 1920 was 6% of gross domestic product. This fiscal year, though, the deficit will rise to about 13% of gross domestic product, more than twice the non-wartime record. In dollars, that equates to a staggering $1.8 trillion. Fiscally, we are now in uncharted water. Essentially, what Warren Buffett is warning here is that not only do we have financial leverage problems, but as a country, by accumulating this incredible amount of debt, we're going to have a countrywide leverage issue. Quote, because of this gigantic deficit, our country's net debt, that is, the amount held publicly, is mushrooming. During this fiscal year, it will increase more than 1 percentage point per month, 1 percentage point per month, climbing to about 56% of gross domestic product from 41%. He goes on, an increase in federal debt can be financed in three ways: borrowing from foreigners, borrowing from our own citizens, or through a roundabout process called printing money. Now, if he goes on and says, if you take both of those, borrowing from foreigners and borrowing from U.S. citizens, you only get about half of what we need in our current printing things. Washington's printing presses, he says, will need to work overtime. Slowing them down will require extraordinary political will. With government expenditures now running 185% of receipts, almost double, truly major changes in both taxes and outlays will be required. A revived economy can't come close to bridging this kind of a gap. He concludes by saying, we don't want our country to evolve into the banana republic economy. Warren Buffett talking about the United States potentially getting into banana republic status. What a dramatic difference in about 10 months from the two editorials from Warren Buffett in the New York Times. That's exactly the type of change that seems to be in the air as things start to cool off for fall. Well, that's our recap for the year, for the week. It's time for a short break, but stay tuned. We'll be right back with more right after this.